Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Tuesday, June 11th, 2024. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me as we are building the infrastructure of human freedom. And I apologize for the static noises yesterday. So it turns out, you know, I use a Shure wired headset, and every few months, it's just done. And then I find out, oh, there's all this static on the recording, which I didn't see on the meters, because I don't actually listen on a headset as I'm recording. It's too distracting to me. So I didn't catch it. My editor caught it and said, oh, time to change the headset. So I do. Now today we have a new Shure headset. And so I have to buy a new headset every, couple of months, I guess, because none of them last. But it's got the best audio quality and it's comfortable. So that's why I'm doing it. Anyway, we've got a lot of news to cover today. And we're going to start out with some good news. I know yesterday was pretty dark, a lot of people told me, but I was just being honest. If you missed yesterday's program, it's worth a listen. In that program, I talk about the 99.9% chance that AI destroys humanity, and also that, frankly, humanity may destroy itself first before AI gets a chance. So it wasn't a think positive episode. Although I did mention that it's quite possible that you and I may be able to live out a normal human lifespan and just pass away naturally one day without being terminated by the AI robots. So that's sort of the silver lining. But our children and grandchildren may not be so lucky. It's quite clear that the human race is a suicide cult. But that's the topic yesterday. In the meantime, as we fight for freedom and we're fighting for humanity every single day, and that gets into the realm of politics, elections, taxation, and all of that, here's some good news. President Trump, he's still the president. He's been elected twice, so I still call him President Trump. He says that he's going to stop all taxes on tips. And I think he means federal income taxes. Now, of course, this is going to drive the IRS completely bonkers, because they not only do they tax tips, but they calculate how much a waiter or another person might receive in tips, and they levy taxes on that amount, even if you didn't get that amount. And I thought it was always wrong. Tips should not be considered taxable income. Tips are gifts. It's a gift from me to the waiter or waitress or whoever else I choose to tip, the chef, the cook, the valet parking person. Not that I do that, but, anybody that you want to tip, it's a gift. If I want to give somebody a gift, that's my business. It's not the IRS's business. And so taxation of tips has always been wrong. Well, think about who earns tips. It's a lot of young people. It's also a lot of people that work in the cities, a lot of blue city people. They work for tips. They live on tips. Even at the Starbucks, the barista person, they work on tips. The people at the pizza parlor, at the sandwich shop, at the hair salon, over and over, they work on tips. Trump just told them they're going to get to keep their tips and the IRS isn't going to come after them. This is brilliant. Finally, we're seeing some really smart moves from Trump here. And I say, why stop there? Why not just announce ending the entire federal tax for individuals? And really, seriously, that should be the next move, in my opinion, from Donald Trump. End federal taxation of individuals. Yeah, you can keep tariffs and maybe keep corporate taxes for now, although none of the taxation actually makes any sense. Corporate taxes just get passed on to the individuals. But he should just announce, hey, we're going to end all taxes on tips and we're going to end all taxes on income, because the government can just print the money it needs. It does anyway. It's not like the government needs your tax money in order to fund itself. It can just whip up another $1 trillion here and there anytime it wants to. As I've said many times on this program, the point of taxation is to keep you suppressed, to make sure that you can't get ahead and retire, which would involve exiting the workforce. They want to keep you as a wage slave for as long as possible. That's what taxation really is. It's a form of suppression, control, and theft. So this is a step in the right direction, and it's going to get Trump a lot of popularity among the working class who receive tips. Now, I give out goldbacks as tips. This is one of my favorite things to do with goldbacks. So anytime I'm at a restaurant, I give them a normal tip in cash, and then I throw in a goldback. You know, like a 1/1000th of an ounce of gold in the form of a goldback. And they love these things. And often they're like, what is this? Well, it's gold. It's 1/1000th of an ounce of gold in there. They're like, whoa, really? You're giving me this? Yep. That's my gift to you. And I don't think they report that to the IRS because I'm tipping them in cash anyway. And plus a goldback, that's a gift. And if I want to run around town handing out goldbacks to everybody, again, that's not the IRS's business. That's just me trying to, you know, spread the wealth a little bit. Put some gold in people's hands, you know, wake people up. Like, hey, guess what? This is real money, not that green crap you've been using. This gold stuff is real money. In any case, it looks like Trump is going to get a lot of increased support for this maneuver. I'm just saying he should take it all the way. Announce he's just going to ban the entire federal income tax. And then, of course, the left would scream, well, how are you going to fund the government? We're not. That's the point. Announce cutting the federal income tax and cutting the federal government by 50%, 70%, I don't know, 90. That would be good, 90%. Cut it by 90%. You say, well, you can't cut it 90%. We have obligations. We have Social Security and Medicare obligations. And we have obligations to pay the interest on the debt. And we have obligations, unfunded liabilities. Hey, guess what? The government's going to default on all that stuff pretty soon anyway. The government's going to default on that. And when it does default, do you want a big government in your face run by a bunch of bureaucrats and tyrants? Or would you rather have a small government that is less of a threat to we the people? Because the government's been weaponized against the American people. Personally, I'd rather they just default now and downsize the government by 90% and, you know, call it a day. Because then they're a lot less dangerous when they're smaller. And all those treasonous bureaucrats in the agencies have been given pink slips and told to go home, and they've all had their pensions slashed into basically zero. Yeah, thank you for your service of being a tyrant for 50 years in the federal government. Now, guess what? You get nothing. You're lucky you're not being prosecuted. Maybe they will be prosecuted. Did you see that AOC? She's afraid that Trump is going to throw her in jail if he becomes the president. Why is she afraid of that? Has she broken laws? I'm just curious. Has she broken a bunch of laws like Hunter Biden? And she knows the Democrats will protect her, but she knows Trump won't. Because if she's afraid of being thrown in jail, having not committed a crime, then that fear is misplaced. It's not Trump and the Republicans that throw people in jail who don't deserve to be there. It's the Democrats that do that. Why isn't AOC freaking out about Trump being thrown in jail over a non-crime, or Steve Bannon being thrown in jail for refusing to participate in a rigged J6 subpoena, even though Hillary Clinton gets off scot-free for ignoring her subpoena, huh? So AOC is, of course, completely out of line. Now, here's some other good news. This comes from 100% Fed Up. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt, Republican, has signed legislation prohibiting the enforcement of guidelines from the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, and the United Nations. Oh, yeah. Senate Bill 426 in Oklahoma. Republican governor signs legislation. So anything that comes out of the WEF, the WHO, or the WTF, or the UN, will not be recognized in the state of Oklahoma. That's brilliant. We should do that in Texas. Hey, Governor Abbott, you let Oklahoma beat us to the punch on that one. It's time for Texas to pass the same thing, and Florida, and every other red state across the country. The law says that any requirements or mandates issued by the World Health Organization, the United Nations, or the World Economic Forum shall not be used in this state as a basis for action, nor to direct, order, or otherwise impose, contrary to the Constitution and laws of this state, any requirements whatsoever, including those for masks, vaccines or medical testing, or gather any public or private information about the state's citizens or residents, and shall have no force or effect in this state. Amen, brother. That's awesome. Oklahoma. Governor Kevin Stitt. Yep. Good move. Now, here's another news story that I think you'll find interesting from Revolver.News. The American people demand mass deportation squads now. So polls are now showing that the majority of Americans favor mass deportation, and this includes Hispanic Americans. It looks like 62% of Hispanic Americans support mass deportation of all illegals. Wow. See? So it's kind of hard to call that a racist policy when Hispanic Americans also support it. Now, here's the thing. The American people, including Hispanic Americans and other immigrants who, you know, maybe second generation or third generation immigrants, they want to keep America safe and free, or they want to restore the freedom that America has lost. But they know that the border has got to be secured. Everybody knows this now. And Trump is the only candidate that's promising mass deportation. Now, I have to admit, in previous podcasts, I have expressed certain levels of reservations about the method in which that might be done. Now, just to be clear, I support mass deportations of illegals. Absolutely support it. But I'm cautious about the methods of achieving that. And you may recall, it was explained to me by high-level law enforcement in Texas that the way they plan to do it in Texas is to increase traffic citations, pulling over vehicles for rolling through stop signs and speeding and failing to signal and using the shoulder as a lane, which every illegal loves to drive on the shoulder for whatever reason. It's like in Texas, you see people driving on the shoulder all the time. They think it's a lane, and you look in, it's always somebody who looks like they were an illegal, and they probably have no insurance and no driver's license, whatever. Just pull over everybody driving on the shoulders. Give them a ticket, whether they're Americans or illegals, but then check them to see if they're illegals. And if so, deport them. I totally support that. What I don't support is any kind of military deployment domestically. I don't want to see soldiers going door to door demanding, you know, show me your papers. I don't want to see military checkpoints in stadiums or theaters or grocery stores. You know, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see massive oppression of civil liberties across America, turning it into a police state just to round up illegals. There are other ways to catch illegals, and traffic is probably the best way to do it. So I'm all game for that. The point is, look, you know, I'm married to an immigrant. I support legal immigration, just to be clear. And I love Hispanic Americans, and I love Asian Americans, and I love, you know, European Americans and Chinese Americans and Japanese Americans. What I love immigrants, you know, Iraqi Americans, Iranian Americans, people from all over the world have come to America, and they make some of the best Americans, by the way, because they recognize the value of freedom. And often they've escaped tyrannical regimes wherever they came from. And so I love immigrants when they're legal. But we have to be able to vet these people. We have to be able to do a background check on them and know who they are, know whether they have a criminal record. And we have to be able to control who comes in to our country. And that means getting the illegals out. They broke the law by coming into America. They need to leave and then get in line and go through the normal legal process that everybody else went through. You don't get to cut in line and just walk across the border and then claim to be an American. It doesn't work that way. And it is time to deport millions of illegals out of this country. And that has been done before, by the way. In the past, the United States government deported millions of illegals. We got to do it again. But I'm just going to say to all the Trump supporters out there, let's do it in a way that also respects the civil liberties of the American people. I don't want to end up in a police state, but I do want to get rid of the illegals. Again, there are easy ways to accomplish that. Now, there was a big election in the EU, And it turns out that those who oppose illegal immigration won an overwhelming victory across various nations, especially France and Germany. That's huge. That's a strong indication of what's coming in November in America. By all indications, if the election takes place, Trump is going to win in a landslide. And after that happens, I think we'll all become waiters and waitresses because we don't have to pay taxes on our tips. So think about that. Hey, real quick, as a side note, I'm not going to focus on this, so listen up. There's a project online called Z Library, and the FBI is running around seizing all of its domain names because Z Library, which I didn't even know about until recently, is a global repository of books where people go to the website and they download PDFs or EPUB files of all these books. I mean, it seems like it's hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of books. And it's a decentralized knowledge distribution hub. There's no charging. There's no fee. But of course, many of the publishers and authors of these books are not happy about Z Library distributing their books. However, most of the users for Z Library are in third world countries, and they can't even begin to come up with, you know, $200 for an academic textbook on phytochemicals or whatever, or even to pay $20 for a book. The reason I mention this is because I found out that a lot of my books are being distributed by Z Library, and I love it. I love it. So I can't speak for other authors or publishers. I'm sure there's plenty of publishers not happy about the existence of Z Library. But I intend to use Z Library to distribute books that I'm working on, that I'll be releasing, because I like to release the books for free. Even though I've got some books that'll come out through publishers, but I've got other books that I'm going to be releasing for free. So I just want to give you the current domains that actually work. Now, just to be clear, the FBI is seizing these domain names, and I'm not in any way recommending that you violate any copyright laws. Only download my books from Z Library, okay? Not anybody else's, just mine. And there's a lot of open source books in there that are also okay. But I give you permission to download my books. So what you do is you go to z-library.rs. That's the current site that works. And there you just search for my name, Mike Adams. And you'll see a bunch of my books from years past. I am not Mike C. Adams. There's also a Mike C. Adams that's got books on indoor gardening. That's not me. So only download my books, like Superfoods for Optimum Health or Grocery Warning, Seven Laws of Nutrition, and so on. I've got a bunch of books in there that somebody uploaded. The Five Habits of Health Transformation. So most of these are from several years ago. But I do intend to contribute books to this system because I believe in decentralization. Now, importantly, if you choose to use Z Library, do so at your own risk, obviously, and don't violate copyright laws. And most importantly, don't fall for the scam websites like zlib.io, zlib.id, or zlibrary.to. Those are all scam websites. And what they do is they try to harvest your email and login password, and then they try to use that same password on a bunch of other login sites, like banking sites, to see if you've used the same login and password. And then they can hack your bank account that way. So obviously, always use unique passwords on these sites. But I just want to tell you that as systems go down, you know, we're looking at the collapse of the modern Western world. You're going to need to have alternative sources of information. One of those is our Brighteon.io decentralized platform. If you haven't yet signed up for it, it's built on the Bastion engine. So it's blockchain driven. There are no central servers, and it uses peer-to-peer traffic. And if you download the app at brighteon.io/applications, then it doesn't even use domain names. So it will work even if the domain name system is completely offline. For Z Library, you can also download an app, which I think is really excellent. And then from the app, you can search for my books and you can download my books. This is a great way for authors to distribute books, I think. And given that, you know, human knowledge is under attack, there's an attempt by the establishment to exterminate human knowledge, especially of things like herbs and natural medicine and survival and so on, I think Z Library serves a really critical function for authors. And so I really support what they're doing for my books. Outside of that, I can't speak to it, but I love what they're doing for my books, and I love what they offer authors, because it doesn't cost me anything to contribute to Z Library, and then they distribute my books, and they cover all the bandwidth costs and the programming and storage and interface costs and everything. I think it's fantastic. So I will contribute more to Z Library, and just want to thank all the people out there in the Z Library project who are doing this. And if anybody out there is listening from Z Library, please reach out to me, because I would like to find a really great way to contribute a lot more of our book content easily in support of your project. You can reach me at situationupdate@protonmail.com. Situationupdate@protonmail.com. Now, moving on to other news. This is really fascinating. From oilprice.com, Russia's oil and gas revenues surged by 73.5% in January through May. Now, what they mean is that the first 5 months of 2024 compared to the first 5 months of 2023 have seen a 73.5% increase in oil and gas revenues. So much for sanctions from the West, huh? Guess those sanctions didn't work. You know, the West thought they were going to destroy Russia by weaponizing the SWIFT system and cutting off Russia and initiating sanctions. And all they did was make Russia more wealthy, more self-reliant, and they accelerated the timetable of the BRICS settlement system. BRICS is on steroids now. Did you see Turkey's going to join BRICS? I mean, you got Saudi Arabia, they're in. Turkey, Thailand just announced they're joining. And I don't know, 80 to 100 other countries around the world are also all in. And right now, BRICS nations, they are trading with each other without using dollars. They're using their own national currencies, and then whatever's left over, they're settling it in gold. That's about to shift to a BRICS blockchain-based tokenization system backed by gold and other commodities. When that happens, when that switch is flipped, the dollar is going to start a nosedive into oblivion, because who's going to need dollars all over the world? Who's going to need dollars? Nobody. Who's going to want dollars? Nobody. Who's going to buy dollars or dollar debt, treasuries? Nobody. Nobody's going to need that. We're probably not far away from Saudi Arabia just announcing that we're just not going to sell oil in dollars at all. We're going to sell oil in BRICS currency, whatever that looks like. And that's it. You want oil? You pay us in BRICS. And the thing about the BRICS currency is that it's a universal currency across all the participants. So let's say if I'm, let's just say I'm an oil exporter in Russia, okay? So I export oil to China, and then China pays me in BRICS tokens. And I'm like, awesome, I got all these BRICS tokens. What am I going to do with them? Maybe I want to import tractors from India for agriculture. So I can use those tokens and I can buy tractors from India, you see? Or vice versa, I can sell oil to India, and instead of getting paid in rupees, I can get paid in BRICS, and then I can take the BRICS tokens and I can go to China and purchase electronics. I mean, this is going to replace the dollar. The dollar is about to become history, and I think it will happen much faster than other people think. I think this will happen virtually overnight at some point here. There's going to be a tipping point, and then boom. So when I hear people talking about, oh, you know, the dollar is still going to be the world reserve currency in 2035, you know, I think they've lost their minds. What are you even talking about? By the way, there's another important point in all of this. It's kind of related to that. You know that the federal government is at war with internal combustion engine vehicles. And the EPA has issued new fuel efficiency standards that essentially demand the complete elimination of combustion engines in the year 2030 and the years beyond. It gets more and more stringent. And by the way, some of that kicks in 2027 too. So the EPA has issued two sets of rules. One is 2027, one is 2030 and beyond. And essentially what they're saying is that these vehicles have to have zero emissions or near zero emissions, which is impossible to achieve with combustion engines. And then the NHTSA has a new rule. That's a highway traffic safety organization, and they say that manufacturers have to have 50 plus miles per gallon for their vehicles. So what? How are you going to have a truck with an engine that gets 50 miles per gallon? You're not. So these rules are designed to destroy private transportation and internal combustion engines. But what I'm here to say to you is that you don't have to worry. This is never going to happen. Because the federal government, as we know, it's not going to exist by 2035, if even 2030, if even 2027. I mean, these are suicide directives for the nation, but they're never going to be embraced because, again, things are going to fall apart long before then. The EPA will be gone when the dollar collapses and the federal government is dissolved. I mean, we're going to see the collapse of the U.S. federal government. And by the way, that is a very positive thing for humanity, a positive thing for America, a positive thing for the whole world. Because remember, the government wants to murder you. They built the bioweapons. They pushed the vaccine injections. They pushed the lockdowns. They're destroying the food supply. They've been shutting down the energy infrastructure. And they've been creating these onerous rules through the EPA, largely all rooted in the climate change delusion, to try to shut down farming, shut down food, shut down energy, shut down transportation, shut down the economy. It's a suicide pact. And it will not be implemented because the system will fail before that happens. So I just want to reiterate to everybody listening, if you're involved in state politics, and I interviewed a woman who ran for the U.S., the state Senate in Virginia, by the way, found out she's a listener to this show. We got a lot of listeners all across the country who run states or local governments, county governments, and state governments. I just want to reiterate to you, just be ready to pick up when the federal government collapses. Be ready with a backup currency. Be ready with health freedom. You're going to need a new state constitution, perhaps, because it might not be just a state. It might be now a new country. Like Texas might join with Oklahoma, join with Arkansas, join with maybe Louisiana. Who knows? You're going to have new region nation states. You're going to have to expand the infrastructure of the sovereignty and representation and diplomacy. And so that means you also need to reiterate certain human rights in your new Bill of Rights, like the right to say no to vaccine injections, the right to say no to the WHO, as the governor of Oklahoma just confirmed. Now, that should be every state's constitution should include that kind of declaration. We will not be directed by the WHO, the WEF, the UN, or any other foreign agency or NGO or any of that nonsense. And also, health freedom has to be mandated, which means we have to legalize natural medicine, nutritional medicine, Chinese medicine, chiropractic medicine. We have to legalize every form of medicine other than snake bite medicine, which is what the weight loss drugs are. I covered that yesterday. Snake bite medicine is what Western medicine is pushing. That's FDA approved medicine, snake bite or reptile venom medicine. That should be illegal. But natural medicine should be legalized. So we need health freedom. We need honest money, new currencies backed by gold and silver that cannot be counterfeited, printed into oblivion. We need to reconfirm the right of freedom of speech, religious expression, the right to peacefully protest against your government, and many other things. But health freedom has to be in it. So if you're not already, start thinking about how we bring America back in a new form after the collapse of this un-American regime, this occupying enemy force in power in Washington, D.C., that rigged the election and is attempting to dismantle, to destroy America from within. The federal government under Biden is an illegitimate regime that's running sabotage terrorism operations against the United States of America. And they're also pushing states to carry out terrorism sabotage operations as well. Let me give you an example of that. So I've got a video here. I'll play about 3 or 4 minutes. This is from Yanasa TV on YouTube. Idaho shuts down farmers. So Idaho, the government of Idaho, is shutting down the water supply to 500,000 acres of farmland in Idaho This is no doubt being done under some environmental bullcrap. And these farms are all going to fail. This is a direct assault on the food supply in Idaho, which you would think is a state that doesn't play these kind of games. But apparently Idaho is taking orders from Oregon and Washington and California. So check out this video. It's highly disturbing. Check this out.
On May 31st, Idaho Department of Water Resources Director Matthew Weaver issued a curtailment order for 6 groundwater districts. Is that a big deal?
It's estimated that about 500,000 acres are subject to curtailment, which is half of all the groundwater acres in the Eastern Snake River Plain. So for many reasons, that's a very big deal.
Good morning, friends. Welcome back to As a Man Thinketh on Yanasa TV. So today I wanted to talk about what's going on in Idaho, because some of you have probably heard about this, but the state of Idaho has put a water curtailment order, which is basically a water shutoff order, on literally a 500,000 acres of farmland. That's a lot of potatoes. A lot of these farmers, this impacts about 6,400 water users, but a lot of these farmers that are farming this land have already invested thousands of acres, thousands of dollars per acre to grow potatoes.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Trevor Belknap. I operate a family farm, a fifth generation family farm in the Snake River Valley of Eastern Idaho. And I just wanted to visit with you for a minute about the impacts of the water curtailment order that's been issued by Director Weaver from the Idaho Department of Water Resources. The situation in which we find ourselves is about as bad as it gets. Not only will we be out of business, many other businesses will be highly impacted, and you, as my friends and neighbors, will also be impacted because we're so interconnected. If the ag economy in Eastern Idaho fails, which it surely will if this curtailment order is in place, it can remain in place, will dry up and blow away, just like it did back in the Dust Bowl of the 30s. Banks will fail. Equipment dealers, car dealers, gas stations, grocery stores, all rely on the ag economy that's here in Eastern Idaho. The children in our schools, how many of them belong to families who work in some form of ag industry in Eastern Idaho? It's horrible, and we need to fix it. And I would propose to you that it is not a water problem, it's a management problem, because we have water. Reservoirs are full, the mountains are covered in snow, the river's been flowing well. So why now? Why after we've planted our crops, we have crops in the ground, they're already growing. Now, in the middle of June, they pull a curtailment order to say, you must cease pumping water. The cost is huge. An acre of potatoes costs upward of $4,000 an acre to grow. How will that ever be recovered? They will not grow without water. And what will that do to everyone else that's reliant upon us in this area and the state of Idaho? What will the counties do for roads and bridges, police departments, ambulances, hospitals that rely on the tax base? Property like this will become worthless. Without water, the land doesn't have any value here. What will they do? We need to consider these things, and we need to talk to our elected officials. We need to call them now and push on them to find a workable solution, a compromise that will allow businesses like ours to continue to progress and grow and succeed in the Snake River Valley, and allow those in the southern part of the state to also continue to go. We need to work together to find a common solution, or we're all going to fail.
And what do you think about that? Yeah, well, there goes the food supply, no water. And then, of course, the EPA shutting down combustion engines, so no transportation, no fossil fuels, which means no tractors, no farming. So what is it? No ranches, no cattle, because, you know, they say cattle are bad for the environment, bad for the climate. So how do you grow food with no water, no ranch animals, no tractors, no engines, no diesel, no energy, no transportation? How are you supposed to grow food? Oh, you're not. This is a suicide pact. This is what I'm trying to explain. These are orders from a federal government passed down through the states, like in this case, Idaho, but usually it's more left-leaning states. This is a directive of mass extermination, engineered famine, while the borders are wide open in order to allow this flood of illegals to come into America to replace the American people that are being killed off with the vaccine bioweapons. Or, in the case of Europe, drafted and sent to war to die on the front lines with Russia, and then to be replaced by the illegals that are not registered for the draft. Very simple. This is an extermination campaign against Western civilization. And our Biden regime government is running all of it, the whole plan, in America. Now, there are people higher than, well, Obama, higher than Obama, globally, who are running this all over the world. But in America, this is really the Obama third term. Now, as part of this destruction of America, they have to achieve economic destruction as well. And so part of that is raising the minimum wage to $20 an hour in California. That law, which was signed, I believe, last year, AB 1228, signed into law by Governor Newsom there, or also known as Governor Hairdo, this just went into effect, I think, in April. $20 an hour minimum wage for fast food workers. You know, people who work at McDonald's, Taco Bell, whatever. So since this law went into effect, 10,000 fast food jobs have been eliminated. Why? Well, you know, the fast food chains can't afford the workers. And what do you see happening instead? The human workers are being replaced by kiosks. I mean, automation. So if you're a restaurant owner and you're wondering, like a franchise owner, you know, you're wondering, should I spend the $100,000 to install a kiosk or whatever it costs? Let's say it's probably not that much. Let's say it's $25,000. Or should I just pay $20 an hour to this worker who's worth about $6 an hour? Because they don't do anything. They show up high or they don't show up at all. They're lazy on the job. They hardly work, which tends to characterize a lot of fast food workers. Not all of them, I understand, but many of them, they're not worth $20 an hour. But the higher the minimum wage goes, the faster the franchise owners can justify investing in automation because it makes more economic sense to make that leap more quickly. And so if California says, well, we got to raise the minimum wage to $25 an hour, which is probably coming, what's going to happen? More workers will be fired. You know, 10, 20, 30,000 more fast food workers across the state. And pretty soon you're going to have restaurants that either completely go out of business or they'll be able to spend $100,000 on a humanoid robot because it's cheaper than paying the wage of this human worker who barely gets anything done. So what California is actually doing, Newsom and the government there, the Democrats, is they are accelerating the destruction of fast food jobs in California. And that's what happens when you put in an artificially high minimum wage. It doesn't help the workers. It causes them to lose their jobs. And who's going to run around buying a Happy Meal for $40 anyway, or paying $25 for 9-piece chicken McNuggets, if they even offer that anymore? Who's going to pay that? Nobody. Nobody. And given the fact that labor costs are then skyrocketing in these blue states, especially for fast food chains, and then the cost of raw ingredients, or, well, processed ingredients in the case of McDonald's, the processed ingredients are getting expensive. You know, you can only stuff so much textured soy protein into the so-called hamburger before people notice. And, you know, at some point, you're like, well, this is just going to be really expensive, especially when the government's shutting down the ranches, the farms, and trying to outlaw cattle. So how are you going to sell hamburgers when beef is $50 a pound at wholesale? You know, what are you going to sell? Well, Cricket McNuggets is the answer, of course. Cricket McNuggets. That's coming soon. Or a Soylent Green McRib. Which, hey, why are these ribs real? Now, they used to be fake. We liked it when they were fake, but now there's real ribs in this sandwich. Oh, yeah. Well, Soylent Green, you know, using real ribs now. It'll be on the menu. Authentic ribs of what? Of the former workers here, actually. Yeah, that's okay. Whoa. No, I mean, I'm kidding about that last part. That's kind of sick. But who knows? Who knows where this is going? Soylent Green. Basically, what's coming for the fast food industry, I can see this. Like Taco Bell, they're just going to get rid of all the employees. Like you come in, you give them your credit card in this kiosk, and then a gate opens up. It's like, here's 7 bins. This is like beans, and this is cheese, lettuce, and tomatoes. Everything that we serve here at Taco Bell is made from these 7 things. It's just like a tostada with this and that, a flour tortilla with this and that. It's all the same 7 things. We call it different menu items. This is a taco. This is a burrito, whatever. It's all the same thing. You just slop whatever crap you want into this bowl, and then we'll weigh it at the end, and we'll just charge your credit card based on the weight. How about that? It's going to be like, make your own burrito or whatever you want. Make your own taco burrito. Taco in a burrito. You make it up. You slop it on. We'll just charge you by the weight, because who's going to be able to afford workers? Besides, these fast food workers, they never listen to what you order anyway. I mean, I haven't been to fast food in many, many years, but as I recall, whatever you ordered, they just made it the way they wanted to make it anyway. I remember in high school, I had a friend who hated pickles on hamburgers. And one time we went through a McDonald's drive-thru in high school. And, you know, he said, no pickles, no pickles. Of course, they give him a hamburger with pickles on it. He opens up the bun, looks at the pickles, looks at me and says, are you the one who can eat these without dying? I never forgot that. I was like, yeah, I don't mind the pickles. They're awesome. But that was a funny quote. That's the kind of friends I had in high school. By the way, this is just part one of today's Brighteon broadcast news. Part two we're posting as a separate file, so it will follow shortly here. Part two contains a full discussion, a rather lengthy discussion, of the risk of nuclear war and the loss of nuclear weapons parity between Russia and the United States. In other words, Russia has eclipsed the capabilities of the U.S. to the degree where mutually assured destruction is no longer mutually assured. So there's an imbalance that is in favor of Russia. And this is a very dangerous situation, given that the West is trying to escalate war with Russia right now. So we have a full analysis of that in part two, plus the interview today with John Richardson discussing Laetril and vitamin B17, which is one of the most suppressed nutritional therapies in the world, especially in the history of Western medicine. If you don't yet know about vitamin B17, it's the subject matter of the book by G. Edward Griffin called World Without Cancer. A book that I read back in the 1990s, it really turned me on to natural medicine and the suppression of human knowledge, especially by the cancer industry. So you'll want to stay tuned for that interview, which is included in part two of today's Brighteon broadcast news. So that's a separate file. It'll be posted shortly after this file. So just pick it up whenever it's available. Thanks for listening. Back in stock at the Health Ranger store, we now have the Elderberry Echinacea Tincture Combo, which is outstanding for the immune system. That's in the middle there, back in stock. We've also got quercetin available, which is a very popular item as everybody's learning about the supportive benefits of quercetin. We have broccoli sprout powder in capsules now back in stock. We also have a little bit of the actual powder as it's shown there in that canister. All these available at healthrangerstore.com. Go to the website, find out what we have there. We've got a lot of new products, a lot of products back in stock. And then also we have the pea protein back in stock. Now, for those who like plant-based proteins, pea protein, it's very smooth. The texture here is very smooth. It's also one of the cleanest, well, I think the cleanest plant-based protein you can get in terms of lab test results. Whereas rice protein sometimes, depending on the source, can have, you know, arsenic in it. We've seen that in rice protein, some lead, some cadmium. But pea protein is very, very clean. Some people prefer a whey protein taste, but if you're used to doing vegan proteins, then pea protein is more in your like wheelhouse of what it's supposed to taste like. And that's a really great, clean, smooth product right there. That's back in stock at our store. But check out our hundreds of other products at healthrangerstore.com. And remember, that every purchase helps us with our big lawsuit that we filed. We're suing Google, Meta, we're suing Twitter or X, we're suing the Department of Defense. We're also suing Homeland Security, NewsGuard, and various NGOs for censorship collusion. In our lawsuit, we're exposing the censorship industrial complex, and we're working to dismantle it, to compel the court to actually dismantle this censorship complex so that the free speech rights of the American people can be restored, as is supposed to be guaranteed by the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights under the United States Constitution. But we have to fight for it, and we need your support in order to carry out and fund that fight. So shop at healthrangerstore.com and help us take this fight to the censors to dismantle the censorship industrial complex while at the same time enhancing your health and nutrition with laboratory-tested, certified, organic, ultra-clean products that we offer. Again, healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support.